Good morning, friends. It's very good to be with you as we come to the end of our series, revisiting the Reformation. We've tackled a few themes. I hope that it's been helpful for you, encouraging. We started a few weeks ago with Jesus is Lord. Then I did something on grace alone. Johann last week on scripture alone. And our theme for today is faith alone. You have the a little leaflet, and I always invite you to take it out. And you'll notice that there's no reading there today. I'll be referring to a number of passages, so you may want to, particularly today, because it's not there, you may want to make some references to some of the scriptural passages that I'll be using today. So I invite you to do that. I don't know if you've heard that delightful story. I think it's a delightful story of Dr. Albert Einstein. He was traveling evidently once through the United States on a lecture trip, and he was traveling by train. And while he was on the train, the conductor came along and obviously wanted his ticket, and he just couldn't find his ticket. So the conductor said, "Don't worry, I'll be back in half an hour. I'll continue going down through the rest of the train, and then I'll be back." Half an hour later, the conductor returned, only to discover the great Dr. Einstein on his knees and hands and knees, looking around, briefcase open, papers all over the place, and obviously, he hadn't found his ticket. And suddenly, the conductor recognized him and said to him, "Dr. Einstein, I didn't know it was you. I trust you. Don't worry. I really trust you. You don't have to find your ticket." And Dr. Einstein said, "Young man, this is not a matter of trust. If I don't find my ticket, I have no idea where I'm going." That story is like a bit of a parable for me. I think we're all on the train, traveling through life. Some of us are going at one heck of a speed, and everything is just a blur as we hurtle along. And all I want to suggest today is that as we travel on this train, it's really important to have the right ticket. Because if we don't, the tragedy is that we could miss the true destination for our one life. So the question that I want to ask you this morning is a very simple question. I want to ask you whether you've got the ticket, whether you've got your ticket. And when I use the word ticket today, let me tell you what I mean. When I use the word ticket, I mean a real faith for the real world. A real faith for the real world. Without a real faith for the real world, life ultimately life is futile and very empty. And I think most of us in this auditorium intuitively know that. Without a real faith for the real world, we will never experience, we simply will never experience the salvation life that God has for each one of us to live. We simply won't experience it. That is why Paul puts it so bluntly in Ephesians. It's going to come up now in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Just look at this verse very carefully. It's a very blunt verse. Paul says it is by grace that you're saved. Through faith. And this not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. Paul is very simply saying that the life that God gives to us, the salvation life, which God gives to us through His grace, not through our merit, through His grace, we only experience through faith. Through faith. It is faith. Let me speak very carefully. It is faith, a real faith for the real world, that integrates our life into the reality of God and God's kingdom. So let me ask you one more time. Have you got the ticket? Have you got your ticket? Now, it's against this backdrop, friends, that I want to organize my message today around three fundamental basic questions. You may even want to make a note of the three questions. And then I will offer a simple response to each of those questions. And then at the end of my message, I'm going to invite you to get your ticket today. And the three questions are this. What do we mean when we speak about faith? What do we mean with that word? You know, sometimes in the church we use a lot of words and we're not even too sure what we mean by them. What do we mean by faith? What do we mean by faith? The second question is this, how do we get it? How do we get it? And the third question is, how can we grow it? How can we grow it? Now, our first question is very, very important. What is faith? Because as soon as I say that word, I think that in an auditorium this size, with as many people as this, we would have lots of different meanings tacked on to that word. So let me say very quickly what I don't mean by the word faith. What I don't mean. By the word faith today, I don't mean a kind of leap into the dark. I don't mean that. By the word faith today, I do not mean kind of irrationality. Doing stupid things in the name of the Lord. I don't mean that. By faith today, I don't mean being positive or optimistic, even though that's a good thing. I think it's a great thing to be positive. It's a great thing to be optimistic. Far better than being negative and pessimistic. But faith is more than that. Nor do I even mean just going through the creed. Critical as our creeds are. So I don't, faith for me isn't just simply saying, well, I believe in God or I believe in Christ. The devil can say that. What do I mean? What do we mean when we use the word faith? Can I offer to you a thought that I hope you will find helpful? And it comes from Paul. Paul in the New Testament, and I want to suggest, before we put up some words on the screen, I want to suggest today, think about this with me, that faith is a certain kind of inner confidence. It's a certain kind of inner confidence, which I'm going to explore. Look at these words by Paul that are going to go up now from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me just say, before I read these words to you, that Paul before he met Jesus Christ, before his conversion, Paul was a very confident man. A very confident man. He was a Jewish man. He was a brilliant man in terms of his ability to think. He was top of the class. He had incredible confidence in himself, in his religion, in his nationality, in his race, in his culture. Incredible confidence. And then he meets Jesus Christ. And that whole dimension of confidence is turned upside down. He gets another kind of confidence. And I want to introduce that confidence to you. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 6:10. He says, therefore, we are always confident. Now, it's a different kind of confidence. And know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. He goes on to say, we are confident. He says it again, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, the Lord, whether we are at home in the body or whether we are away from it. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Paul has a certain kind of confidence. And what I want to do just for a few moments is I just want to unpack his confidence. And then I want to ask you whether you've got it. Whether you've got the ticket. Paul was confident that he was loved and forgiven and accepted by God in Jesus Christ. He had that confidence. He was confident about that. He was confident that no matter what he went through, he was never, ever alone. He was absolutely confident about that. That he was never alone. In prison, never alone. He had a deep inner confidence that all the resources of God were available to him through God's Spirit. He was confident about that. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. He was confident about that. And he was deeply confident that there was nothing in this world or the next that could ever separate him from God in Jesus Christ. That was his confidence. And he lived with that confidence. Do you have it? Do I have it? Because that kind of confidence is what I long for, don't you? When I mess up badly, I want to have the confidence that I'm loved and accepted and forgiven by God in Jesus Christ. It's that faith that saves me. When you are facing a lonely decision, you want to have the confidence that you're not alone. There is someone who is with you. Don't you want to know that? When you are facing a task that humanly seems impossible, you want to know that all the resources of God are available to us in Jesus Christ. We desperately need that confidence. When I stand at the side of a grave of someone that I love, I want to have the confidence that there's nothing, not even death, that can separate us from God's love in Jesus Christ. Do you have that confidence? Do you have it? That's the ticket. That is the ticket. Faith is a certain kind of confidence that we are loved, accepted, and forgiven by God in Jesus Christ. I don't have to trust my goodness. It's a confidence that we're not alone as we travel God's way for our life. It's a confidence that all the resources of God are mine in moments of struggle and disaster and weakness. It's a confidence that there's nothing, no heartache, no heartbreak, no tragedy, no depression, no despair that can ever separate me from God's love in Jesus Christ. Do you have that confidence? That's faith. That's faith. Do you have the ticket? Some of you may be saying, Trevor, I don't. How do I get it? How do I get it? How does that confidence enter one's life? How does faith come to us? I can't self-generate it. I can't manufacture it. I can't work it up. I can't psych myself up into faith, into that kind of confidence. Look at this passage very carefully. Make a note of it and memorize it. Paul, writing to the Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. Look how he responds to that question. Consequently, faith, this confidence that we're talking about, it comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Let me put that simply. When I open the door of my life to Jesus Christ and his message, Jesus brings that confidence into my life. Does that make sense? When I open the door of my life to Jesus Christ and his word, and he enters my life, he brings that confidence and faith with him. Have you opened the door? You know, I'm a pastor, and I've been a pastor for too long. And I've knocked on hundreds and hundreds of doors. I know how people open doors. I could do my doctorate, my PhD, on the opening of doors. I know how people open doors. You know, sometimes I knock. Sometimes people don't even come to the door. I just stand outside waiting. Sometimes I knock, people come to the door, they see it's me, they keep it on the latch, and we talk through the cracks. That happens in Methodist circles a lot. Pray for me. What usually happens is I knock on the door and I wait. No movement. I've learned to look at curtains on either side. I can see curtains shift. I see one curtain shift and I hear a lot of noise. I know what's happening. I know what's happening. Lottery tickets slipped away. FHMs put under covers. And then people will come to the door and say, you know, very respectful. You know. And then there are those beautiful, beautiful moments when someone comes to the door and says, you know, Trevor, the house is a mess, but come in. The house is a mess, but come in. You know, Christ knocks on the door. He knocks on the door, hey? He never gives up knocking on the door of our life with his word and his message. We keep him outside. We talk to him through the cracks. We want to tidy up our own home. But it's when we open the door and when we are able to say to him, Christ, my house is a mess, but come in. He comes. He comes. And he brings with him the message that engenders faith and confidence in me, in God, in Christ. Have you got the ticket? It comes as a gift as we open our life up to the word of Jesus Christ. Have you got the ticket? The last question is essential. How does faith grow? How does this confidence, how does this confidence that we've been talking about, that we've described, how does it grow and deepen? And I want to be very practical now. I just want to give you three tips. Trevor's tips. Just simple tips. Can I suggest, here's my first tip. If you want to grow in confidence with the Lord, be honest about your doubts. Be honest about your doubts. All of us go through experiences that hammer us. They knock our confidence in Christ. We go through experiences that often engender doubt. I go through those experiences and you go through them. We all do. Doubt is not a sin. Can I say that again? Doubt is not a sin. Doubt is not unbelief. There's a difference. When Jesus meets Thomas, who's doubting, there is not one word of condemnation. Not one word of condemnation. Jesus meets us in our doubts, if we are willing to bring them to Him. And for some of us, this could be an incredible thing to honestly go before the Lord and to share with Him those deep doubts that you do have, whatever they may be. And it's as we share them with the Lord honestly and openly and unashamedly that in them the Lord meets us and then leads us through them. I must suggest to the leadership here that we have a doubt night at Mosaic. A doubt night. Huh? Maybe just to share some of our doubts. And often behind our doubts is a lot of pain and a lot of tragedy and a lot of heartache. Don't be ashamed of your doubts. Don't hide them. Bring them into the open. Share them with the Lord. Share them. I think my second tip is this. Make sure you're on this journey with someone else. Don't go on the journey of faith on your own. Huh? I think that's why Christ, when He comes into our life, always brings people with Him. Don't travel the journey of faith on your own. On your own. I would never be standing here today if it were not for people along the way who, when my faith really took a knock, got alongside of me. And somehow, does this make sense? Their faith infected me and helped me again to get going. 3 or 4 or 5 times that has happened. I've desperately needed others to walk with me. Huh? This week I had an early morning cup of coffee with a bodybuilder from Benoni. A bodybuilder from Benoni is big. Very big. And this wonderful guy suffers from clinical depression. Outwardly, looks strong, very strong, walks by, people turn to have a look at him. Inwardly, every day, he fights a battle for his life. For his life. He's on medication. The choices of life and death, I think, are in his heart, even though he's got a family. He talks about suicide and the struggle with those dark thoughts. We spent an hour and a half together just drinking some coffee. And then I got a message from him. And I've memorized it. I've got it on the cell. He just said these words, "Trevor, your faith helps my faith. Your faith helps my faith." It just somehow, I don't know how it happened, it somehow being together has helped him just to have some confidence that in his depression he's not alone. That somehow he's loved and accepted and forgiven, and that even his depression can't separate him from God. Somehow that happened in relationship. Here's my last tip. Whatever faith you do have, whatever confidence you do have, no matter how small, put it into practice immediately. Put it into practice. Jesus compared faith to what? Do you remember? He compared it to something very small. What was that? He compared it to a mustard seed. Mustard seed. A mustard seed. We don't need a lot of faith. We've got a big God. Small faith is okay. Big God. It's much better than having big faith in small little gods like money. How do you just exercise faith? Just exercise faith each day. Talk to God each day. You're exercising faith. When you start talking to God, you are exercising your little faith. Spend a bit of time as regularly as you can on your own. Huh? Meditating upon the scriptures, letting the message of Christ get into you. That's faith. You're doing something. Maybe tomorrow morning you struggle to get out of bed because of just an extreme sense of despair. Just exercise just a little bit and get up. Just get up. That's an incredible step for some people. Just to get up, face the day in the confidence that Christ is with me. I'm exercising faith. Maybe some of you are not speaking to your husband or your wife at the moment. And maybe an exercise of faith is just to speak again to her or to him. To touch him. To touch her. It's exercising faith. And you say to me, "Trevor, I can't do that." All the resources of Christ are yours to do that. Maybe it's to get in touch with someone who's desperately, desperately hurting at the moment. You exercise in faith. James chapter 2 verse 17, write this down. Faith without action is dead. It's dead. James 2 verse 17, faith without action is dead. So whatever faith you've got, act on it. Act on it. And you will find it grows. It grows. Let me end. Have you got the ticket? Have you got the ticket? The ticket is a real faith. A real faith for the real world. It's a deep inner confidence. A deep inner confidence that we are loved, accepted, and forgiven by God in Jesus Christ. It's a confidence that we're not alone. It's a confidence that the resources of God are ours through His Spirit. And it's a confidence that there's nothing, nothing that can ever separate us from God's love in Jesus Christ. To live with that confidence changes everything. Have you got the ticket? Let's pray together. Oh God, we talk about deep things here on a Sunday. We talk about things that we often don't talk about during the week. But today we've spoken about faith, about confidence in You, Lord. Trusting You and You alone. Lord, some of us don't have that at the moment, and we want today to want to just open our life and our mind to Christ and to His Word. And we ask, Lord Jesus Christ, that as you enter our life and our thinking with your presence and with your word, that you will bring to us the seed of faith. And there's some of us, Lord, who've really taken a hammering. And our faith is very low. Our confidence is low. And we ask today that we may exercise what we have so that it may grow and grow and grow. Come, Lord. Minister deeply to us today. Minister faith to us today as a congregation. Minister faith to us through your word. In the name of Jesus, and we say together, as God's people, Amen. Amen. Friends, I've got some tickets on the stage. And if today, maybe, you want to kind of just get onto this journey, why don't you come and pick up your ticket today? And I've put some verses on the ticket so that you can just memorize some scripture. And there are going to be some people standing over there, and there are going to be some people standing over there that maybe you just need someone to pray with today. Just go across, and they'll just pray very quietly for you. So if you need the ticket, come and get it. But above all, May the joy of Jesus Christ be with you. Have a great day, friends. God bless. God bless you.